hope you enjoyed the meditation, inviting us into becoming aware, intentionally aware of sound and exploring the sound. And what happens when we drop the sound, whatever that sound is, what happens? So today I wanted to talk about silence, and I thought, well, let's practice with sound, not just talk about it. And so in the guided meditation, the first 10 minutes or so, we intentionally let the sound from outside, whatever impinge on the air, the organ that allows sound to come in. And then we were invited to let that fade into the background. It's still there, right? It could be whatever that could be traffic. For me, it was the heater. It's very loud. And it keeps coming on. I think the building is a bit old and maybe not so well insulated. So in the winter, I tend to keep the temperature low and use a space heater to supplement it, because the sound is quite something. But it's not just the sound, it's because it keeps going on and off. And so when I moved here, it was a real good practice to practice with this. Because as soon as I would allow that sound to become background, it would come off. And so it was then another sound. It was the no sound of the heater sound, right? And then it would come right back on, which is why I got a space heater, and just to minimize the amount of times the heating system comes on. So our invitation was to sort of do the same thing, right? Listen in. Like really explore it. Let the you know what it, you know usually what might we might call the noise, especially when we're trying to get silent, right? And how quote annoying it sometimes is, right? With the eye consciousness, meaning how we receive impingements in this eye sense organ, right? In Buddhism, we talk about the sense organs, where we sense things, right? The sense organs, the eye, we sense, we get the sight, right? The ear, we get the sound. The nose, we get the smell. The skin, we get the tactile sensation, the wind against the breeze against the hand, or the shirt as it touches the skin. And then the mind consciousness, the continuous thoughts that come to mind, that is also sensing. We're sensing the thought, and then we're usually getting into it. Well, it's the same thing with what we call the external sense organs, is they get impinged. We say the ear gets impinged with a sound. There's an impingement on the ear. And then we make a story. We heard the sound of let's say the siren. That's always a good one. And then the story. What was that? We have stored perceptions, right, about the siren. What's a siren sound? It activates memory and it activates a perception. So we start a story. Oh, whatever that story is, it could be, I don't know what your story is with the siren, but often a story around the siren is someone's in danger, there's a fire. If it's a police siren, it can get really traumatic. Yeah. If it's a fire one, it can be a whole story, right? We get into the story. So this practice of sensing into, recognizing where we're taking in impingements, the eye. So when we meditate, we close the eyes, or we're invited to close the eyes. You can, you don't have to close the eyes, but when we close the eyes, it minimizes the sense impingement of sight, because now my eyes are closed, I can't see. So I'm not getting taken in, I'm not starting a proliferation of my thinking by seeing something, a person walk by, and the story that goes with that. And the story sometimes is not, it's not so even aware in the conscious mind. It's the story that goes or gets said again inside that affirms again that story, right? So in meditation, we are invited to close our eyes and minimize that sense organs. So we go inside, yeah? We sit quietly so that we're not moving our body. So we're not going to, you know, we might be sitting, especially if we're sitting outside or even inside when the room warms. Now we're feeling warmth on the skin. So that's another, that's the impression on the skin, right? The tactile sensation and smell. Yeah. So when we meditate, because we're trying to go inward, we try to minimize all these external sense organs and not feed them. The sound, though, is an interesting one, because even when you might be sitting in a cave, or even let's say you go to a retreat center, there's a great story by Ajahn Chah, who's was a Thai forest monk, about being in the forest in Thailand, and the music from the village nearby, and how annoying it was for him, how he just was just feeding his mind, like, oh, these people, don't they go to sleep? He couldn't put it down, right? So this invitation today was explore it. And then when you get tired of exploring it, put it into the background, right? And so we can help ourselves in coming inward and minimizing these distractions by practicing this meditation, intentionally practicing with quote noise, and finding the spaciousness, the silence, right there in that noise. I know it sounds like, what's she saying? But we're in a time now where there's a lot of upheaval. And we're really invited to practice with these sounds that we're going to be hearing all around us. And it's going to be really important for us to guard our sense doors. You hear me? Guard our sense doors. What are we going to take in? What are we going to practice with? How are we going to allow all the stories that are going to continue? Yeah, that can trigger us, that can activate our traumas, that can put us into fear. Yeah, and anger. And so how are we going to take care of all these sense impressions that if we really keep taking them in can really become very toxic? We can over consume, yeah, all of what is going to be offered. Yeah, it's already a lot, just without this recent election and the repercussions of that. Whoever you voted for, it's just going to be something, right? So hold on, strap up. And when I say strap up, I mean strap up your sense doors. Take care of your sense doors. Learn how to know when to let all that drop aside and find the silence needed to go inward in the midst of all that noise. I'm not saying lock yourself up in a room and pad the walls and no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the wisdom of this practice is to know when to close the sense doors. Yeah. And sometimes we're depending on our jobs or roles, it's hard to quote separate ourselves from that noise. And so today the invitation was to explore it and then learn how to be able to put it in the background and still find the silence, what else is there? And so in the meditation, we were then invited to, okay, we've put that external sounds, we're backgrounding it, yeah. And I know it's an invitation and it's not like we're going to do it right here in this 30-minute sitting meditation. It's an invitation though to practice with it. Practice it with it right in your home. It's easy to practice, like me practicing it with the heater. Like, what is it around you that's always there that you actually have learned to put in the background? And how can you, in these very sometimes toxic conversations that we're going to be in, meetings where we're going to hear things that could be quite upsetting to us, how are we going to learn to use our mindfulness to know when it is to let that be background, where we can say there's a sound impinging on my ear and it doesn't start a story. The perceptions don't start. The story doesn't go in. The fear, the constriction, the anger, we don't go down that road. The blood pressure doesn't go up. The chemicals don't get released. The respiration rate doesn't go up. You see, there's all these effects that happen. And so the sound that as we went inward, right? Now let's listen in the meditation. We were listening to, can we hear the heartbeat when we try to drop away the external sounds? Can we now listen to that? Sometimes at night when you're laying down, just about to fall asleep, it's more accessible. It's more quiet, it's more, and we ourselves have calmed down. Our mind is not running on that 5-lane highway. So we're also calming down the thinking. And then sometimes we notice something else. So then we drop into the internal sounds. Sometimes people say when they get real still, they can hear the blood flow. It's like that. So we're not just stilling the external sensory impingements, we're also stilling the mind. You see, because when we breathe in and follow the breath in and breathe out and follow the breath out, we've now brought our attention, our awareness to just that. And in doing that, we have left the mind moving. We've left it for a minute, maybe 10 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, whatever it is for you, it's fine. And in that following of the breath in and out, we've actually now let go of the mind, the thinking mind, that sense organ that keeps just circulating thought, circulating, looping sometimes, right? Looping. the other day I was looping on something and I thought, wow, look, I'm looping on this. Why is that? And as soon as I said it to myself, I said, oh, I need to stop that. So that ability to notice what the mind is doing, it's really, really important for us to then decide, do I want to keep doing that? And what allows us that is when we start to moderate or be very aware of what we're taking in. Yeah. So the breath we come back to, and that breath, that in and out, it's just that. It's just that. And we just follow it in and we follow it. We're not doing anything else. And of course the mind, right? Because it's kind of always like that, the monkey mind. It's like knocking, right? It's like, hey, what about me? Look at what all I got to offer you. I got, let's think about this. What are we going to eat later? What am I going to do tomorrow? Oh, what about the call yesterday? Oh, it's always trying to get our awareness, our attention. And so when it does that, we simply invite it to not now. It's not a judgment like, oh, there I go again. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I'm whatever, you know, see, I can't, whatever, all the negative ways that we judge ourselves. We just simply invite it. Can you, my friend, I see you. Okay. It's not right now. Not right now. And we go back to the breath. And we go back to the breath. Yeah. And it's the same with the sound, right? We go back, we hear another sound and we go back to it. And can we hear it, go back to it, and make it background and come right back, keep coming back. No, I'm listening here. I'm listening for the stillness. I'm listening for the silence. Because we want to see what comes up in the silence, the wisdom, the Buddha nature, the kindness, the bodhicitta, the innate wisdom that's there, the perfection of what's already done is there in the stillness, in the silence, which we often can't get to because we have these layers of stories and layers of sounds and layers of visuals, things, even if we're not, you know, sometimes when we close our eyes, we're visualizing something. We're seeing whatever it was that we did last night. We're seeing it again. We're replaying it again. Yeah, so sometimes even when we're not, with eyes aren't open, we're still with the eyes closed and still bringing the image up. And so all this traffic, it doesn't allow us to see what is there, what's already here. And some of the traffic is due to our pain. Some of the traffic is due to the way that we have adapted to take care of the pain. The walls that we've built, the edifices that we've constructed around a hurt, a pain, a trauma, a tension. And those things keep us really, those edifices in the form of either a visual or a thought keeps us very busy. We always have it, we can hang on them. What happens when we slow down and we find that stillness and we minimize those sense organs and their the story on their after their impingements, after that contact's made, is now we get to see what all that fuss, all that noise, all that thinking has, what else is there under that? What's the layer? And that's our practice. That's why we meditate. That's why we slow down. That's why we do things that bring us to relaxation and calm. is to see what else is there so we can take care of it. And during these very chaotic times, it's really easy to have all of that get reinforced. All those edifices can get two more stories. We can just keep building on it. And so our practice, especially as these months and years go on, is to really notice what's here and what is it like. We make a commitment to ourselves. How are we going to practice with all this, these sensory impressions that are going to continue? There's going to be a new breaking news, breaking news. It's just going to happen. How many of them are we going to click on? Like, just practically, y'all. Because we're so tied into the devices and the media, it's going to be really important for us to help ourselves by setting some guidelines of how we're going to take good care of ourselves. What are we going to let impinge on our senses? What are the sounds that we're going to let in or just let it be? Because in this world, right, in that we're living in, there's lots of things, there's movement. We're not living in a monastery or a retreat center or a cave in the bush or the jungle or the woods, where we can intentionally minimize all that noise. And so our practice as lay people in the world is really the core of the teaching. How can we be in the world but not of the world? Right? In the world but not of the world. Not completely consumed and taken up by all these worldly things. That just gets more and more. And so this I think, especially, it's a beautiful time of the year. It's a time of reflection on gratitudes, kindness, Christian holidays around someone being born into the world to bring relief, if that's your faith tradition, the Jewish faith tradition during these times that have been happening, also fasting, the Islam tradition around fasting, and renouncing, and then recommitting. The Buddhist tradition, right? The winter retreat, the rains retreat of 3 months of going inward and slowing down, being more reflective, maybe setting an aspiration for these 3 months. I want to work on this. So I think it's a time now. This is all a beautiful time, and this is a time of heightened consumption, even without the election. We go into, right, like Christmas marketing started this year, right after Halloween. Remember when it would start after Thanksgiving? So we're already in hyper consumption already. And so how do we commit? I invite us to commit, to really think, do a reflection, sit in a meditation, journal with some intentionality around how you are going to take good care of yourself. I think a year ago or something, I offered a talk on scheduling our enlightenment, which when you really think about it, it's not possible, right? You can't do that. And what really it was trying to get us at was that in the world, we have to be intentional about waking up, right? So in communities of practice, you could say they've scheduled their awakening, meaning they've created places of quiet, places where there's an intentionality, there's a schedule around practice, right? Six, wake up six, sit at 6:30, breakfast in silence at this time. You know, we just had a retreat this last weekend. For those 2 days, we had at a retreat center, we had a schedule where we all together came to practice with that schedule. And so in that way, and in places where that's where people live indefinitely, they've basically scheduled in their life these practices. I'm going to renounce this world, and I'm going to go live in this place that has intentionally scheduled a way that I can practice every day to increase the likelihood that I can stay awake more often. But we're, as lay people out here in these worlds, we don't have that. But we can still schedule our enlightenment, right? In what I'm suggesting, that we intentionally say, you know, the next 3 months gonna be rough. How am I going to practice with it? Instead of just walking out there and just letting all these things just slap us and impinge on us and make us tired and forget our practice. That's what it means to be a practitioner in the world. It means that we want to be intentional. Right? We will be in the world and will practice. You don't have to go to a monastery to practice. You can practice in the world. It's just we have to be a little bit more intentional because we're not living in a center where everything is scheduled, the whole intention and mission, if you will, of the organization, right? That's what it is, an organization, is set up to just do that. So we're not there. We're in the world, and even in our own household, we may not have control of setting up the space to be that, right? And so how do we practice with that? How do we set up in our life or daily life a routine that allows us to stay and remind us of our practice? Because that's going to be what helps us with all these sensory impingements that are happening. So we have to be intentional. You know, this, I want to see something different. I keep doing the same thing and then I wonder why the same thing happens. That's not wisdom. That is not insight. That's, to me, that's laziness. Expecting something to change but keep doing the same thing. So I am inviting us into we all say we want to get free. We all say we want to get liberated. And so I'm inviting us to be intentional in setting ourselves on a path, a schedule of our own doing. No one's telling you got to do this at this time or none of that. That's what happens in the monasteries, right? Because that's the ritual of it. We can invoke our own rituals. We can decide during a day when I wake till I go to sleep, how am I going to come back to my body? How am I going to settle in with my breath? Is it going to be as soon as I wake up and go to the bathroom, I'm doing my slow walking then? Is it going to be when I go to the bus or walk to my car, that 3 minutes or 5 minutes, I'm going to take mindful steps? Is it in the way I speak to people, I'm going to be kind? I'm going to practice deep listening. I'm going to use kind speech. Is it having a meditation time at my lunchtime, 10 minutes while I eat, eating in silence? Is it going for a walk and following my steps? And whatever it is, there's so many opportunities. We are in so much choice. Even in your most busy schedule, within that schedule, there is spaciousness to practice. How are we bringing our attention and our intention into our activities? It's not separate, you see. It's not, I'm going to go be a practitioner now, and then I'm going to go back and just be in the world in my way. No, it's actually, they're right there together. Yeah, that's what mindfulness is, mindfulness in daily life. And that's what our tradition is, mindfulness in daily life, in everything we do. So thank you for listening, and we'll listen to a sound of the bell and let all that just flow away.